There are fewer words in the modern English language that have been more distorted or misused or abused or overused than the word love. Oh, I love your shoes. I love your car. I love your outfit. I just love this song. A lot of people equate love with sex. The Greeks had it right. They had no one word to describe the different ways of expressing love. They actually had five. The first one is mania, manic love. It's almost not love at all. It's more like an obsession, a lust. This is the love of possessing something. And the second is eros, obviously the root for erotic. But it doesn't just describe sexual love. It also describes all emotional love, the feeling of love. Eros love stands for passionate, sensual, longing, sexual, romantic love. Then there's philos. Philos love, generally referred to as affection between friends. It's where we get the word Philadelphia, brotherly love. Philos describes the love between two people who have common interests and experiences or fondness. And the fourth is storge. Storge is the love one has for a dependent. It's commonly called motherly love. It's a kind of family and friendship love. It's the love that parents naturally feel for their children, the love that members of the family have for each other, or the love that friends feel for each other. And then finally, there's agape love, unconditional love, love that requires nothing in return. This is love in its purest form. And this is the love that not only God has and gives to us, but it actually is the very nature of God, because God is love. This is the love that God has for us, that he accepts us for who we are, warts and all. This is the love that is all about sacrifice and giving without expecting anything in return. This is the love that isn't a noun, it's a verb, it's an action, a love that requires you to do something. It's demonstrated by one's behavior towards another. Agape love seeks only the highest good of others. And this meaning of this word stands in sharp contrast to the meanings of the other words. This word alone points to a completely self-sacrificing love, a love that lacks self-interest, self-gratification, self-preservation. Agape love is motivated by the interest and welfare of the others. Agape love is motivated by the interest and well-being of another. Agape is not something God created. Agape is something God is. Where God was, there was love. Where God is, there is love. Where God will be, there will be full of love, for God is love. And this is the love God has for us, and this is the love we're to have for others, and it's also the toughest one. It's easy to show brotherly love or erotic love or manic love even, but this unconditional sacrificial love is very difficult. Tim Hansel has a book called When I Relax, I Feel Guilty. And in it, he has some insights of what most people want from God. And he writes, I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep. Just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of eternal in a paper sack. I would like $3 worth of God, please. We tend to love others as long as there's something in it for us, or if it's easy, or if the other person's acting right. That's marvelous, having a lion and monkey in the same cage, said the visitor to a small zoo. How do they get along? Okay, usually, answered the zookeeper. Occasionally they have a disagreement and we have to get a new monkey. As long as the monkeys aren't getting on our nerves, we don't act like lions do. But there's scripture after scripture after scripture recording Jesus' instructions for us to love each other, even the each others that are different than us, even the each others that get on our nerves, even the each others that don't act like we want them to. He talked about it a lot, so I'm guessing it's important. Have you seen signs of the billboard that says that love each other thing? I meant that. Signed God. And it's not optional. It's a commandment Jesus gave us. Actually, one of two, the two most important, and I would argue the only two that we need to worry about. Love God and love each other. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even if I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And this is the agape kind of love, and he wants us to love that way. Love God, love each other, so that we can be complete, so that our joy may be full. We're called to love each other unconditionally, totally unconditionally. And it requires us to forgive others as God has forgiven us. Man, is that hard. Little girl had spent the whole day fighting with her sister. That evening, they prepared for bed, still mad at each other. As usual, they knelt beside their beds for their prayers. "Dear God," the 8-year-old began, "bless Daddy and Mommy and our cat and the dog." And then she stopped. And her mother prodded her gently and said, "Didn't you forget somebody?" And she glared across the bed at her 6-year-old sister and added, "Oh yeah, and God bless my ex-sister." When we're hurt, when we're wronged, when we're overlooked, when we're abused, it's a lot easier to hold a grudge and seek revenge than it is to forgive the wrongdoer. And not just forgive the wrongdoer, we're called to love the wrongdoer. But science has proven what God has known all along. Holding a grudge only hurts you and can lead to all sorts of psychological and physical problems, not for the wrongdoer, for you. It's better and healthier and more Christ-like to forgive the other person, to let go of the hurt and the pain. It'll set you free. But if you want to really exact revenge, this is really bad theology, and shame on a pastor for saying this, but if you really want to exact revenge on someone who has hurt you, not only forgive the other person, but love them as well. It will make them crazy. Sometimes that forgiving kind of love isn't received well, or is received skeptically. Love anyway. And agape love is sacrificial. This is from the book Chicken Soup for the Soul. Many years ago, when I worked as a volunteer at Stanford Hospital, I got to know a little girl named Lisa, who was suffering from a rare and serious disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother, who had miraculously survived the same disease and had developed the antibodies needed to combat the illness. The doctor explained the situation to her little brother and asked the brother if he would be willing to give his blood to his sisters. I saw him hesitate for only a moment before he took a deep breath and said, "Yes, I'll do it if it will save Lisa." And as the transfusion progressed, he lay in the bed next to his sister and smiled, as we all did, seeing the color returning to her cheeks. And then his face grew pale and his smile faded, and he looked up at the doctor and asked with a trembling voice, "Will I start to die right away?" Being young, the boy had misunderstood the doctor. He thought he was going to have to give her all of his blood, but he was willing to do that because he loved his sister. I had a friend who was feeling neglected because her husband was gone a lot pursuing his hobby, and she felt like it was a sign he didn't love her. And she told me she didn't really want him to give up his hobby for her. She just needed to know that if she asked him to, that he would. Agape love requires sacrifice, sometimes great sacrifice. It requires us to give of ourselves with nothing gained in return. It requires us to love no matter how the other person responds. And that's not the way we do things. Prosperity preachers, who y'all know, you want to make me mad, talk about a prosperity preacher. But they teach, love God and he'll make you rich. People leave the church because they're not getting fed. Marriages end because one person isn't giving them of themselves equally. But there's no equality in agape love. We are to love others. We are to sacrifice for others with no expectation of return. Jesus' statement, love one another as I have loved you, was not love one another as they love you back, and if they don't love you back, all bets off. And then agape love requires acceptance. Christians are so judgmental. Expect folks to lockstep to their ways of doing things, their way of behaving, their way of dressing, even their way of voting. Jesus was a Democrat, you know. He was a Republican. I finally figured out why I don't like teenagers. They expect authenticity and they hold you accountable. I was in my car with a couple of them this past week. And there was a man at a stop sign with a sign asking for money. And my thoughts went to, it's a scam. I've read that they make more in a day than people who are working real jobs. There's plenty of jobs in Elkhart County. They can have a job if they want to. You know, those thoughts. I'm not giving them any money. And then Sarah said, that's one of our people. It's one of the homeless people who we know through this congregation. I hate teenagers. But I started thinking about it, and I've been thinking about it since. My judgment of him kept me from loving him. There is a possibility he is making more money holding a sign than working minimum wage. If you think about it, if he had 10 people give him $5 in an hour, that's a heck of a more than minimum wage. I know this particular man, he does choose to be transient. He's a modern-day hobo, if you will. He's doing okay. But then my pride kicks in, and I put it on him. Where's his pride? Begging like that. Taking money from people instead of doing what he's supposed to do, in my opinion. And this is what God gave me. I smoked for 30 years. Let's average it out, $3 a pack. When I started, it was about $1.50. When I quit, it was about $5. So, averaging $20 to $25 a week. Now, anyone here thinks smoking doesn't kill? So I paid somebody $25 a week to kill me. The store on the corner held a sign up every time I drove by that said, this company is not making enough profits. Please give us $25 a week so we can give you something that will kill you. How is that different than the enterprising young man who found a way to make a living wage asking for money from other people? My thought process changed. The phrase, love the sinner, hate the sin, it's wrong. It's actually love the sinner, hate your own sin. So until you stop sinning, you need to be loving all the sinners around you. And when we look at others and think, what an awful person, we get so settled into Jesus, the Jesus loves me, my sins are forgiven thing, that we start believing somehow we're special and we're entitled to stick our noses up at those who aren't as good as we are. And we forget that Jesus loves those people and forgives their sins too. Shouldn't we? And agape love, it's a verb. It's a verb. It's not a noun. Agape love requires action. If you have relationships you want repaired, love that person. Love the action. Make them a card. Speak to them. I am notorious. I'm glad he's not here because I wasn't going to share if he was. I am notorious for this. Honey, what's wrong? Well, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. I've been doing that to this man for 30 years, and then I don't speak to him for a week. And then I wonder why he doesn't understand me. Speak to them. Do kind things for them, not expecting anything in return. Not with the expectation of the relationship getting healed, but because you are to love others sacrificially, non-judgmentally forgiving. In the book, Dream a New Dream, Dale Galloway illustrates this point. Little Chad was a shy and quiet young fella. One day he came home and told his mother he'd like to make a Valentine for everyone in his class. And her heart sank. She thought, I wish he wouldn't do that, because she had watched the children when they walked home from school, and her Chad was always behind them. They laughed and hung on to each other and talked to each other, but Chad was never included. Nevertheless, she decided she'd go along with her son, so she purchased the paper and the glue and the crayons, and for 3 weeks, night after night after night, Chad painstakingly made 35 Valentines. Valentine's Day dawned, and Chad was beside himself with excitement. He carefully stacked his Valentines up and put them in a bag and bolted out the door. His mom decided to bake him his favorite cookies and serve them up warm and nice with a cool glass of milk when he came home from school. She just knew he'd be disappointed. Maybe that would ease the pain a little. And it hurt her to think that he wouldn't get many Valentines, maybe none at all. That afternoon, she had the cookies and milk on the table, and she heard the children outside, and she looked out the window, and sure enough, here they came laughing and having the best time. And as always, there was Chad in the rear, and he walked a little faster than usual. She fully expected him to burst into tears as soon as he got inside. She had noticed right away his arms were empty. And when the door opened, she choked back her tears. Mommy has some warm cookies and milk for you. But he hardly heard his words. He just marched right by, and all he could say was, not a one, not a one. And her heart sank. And then he added, I didn't forget a one, not a single one. It's agape love requires action. It's tough in our humanness to love like this. Maybe it's impossible. So here's how. This may seem obvious, but to fully accept and trust God's help, God's love and forgiveness for us. We can't fully love another person. We can't fully forgive another person, warts and all, unless we believe we are loved and forgiven like that. Get into the Word. Read about God's love for us. The whole Bible, from Genesis to the Revelation of John, is one big love story. But there are specific passages related to God's love for us and how we're to love each other. And read them. Dwell on them. Let them become part of who you are. Ask the Holy Spirit to affirm them to you. Remind you of them. And accept the love of others. Get into a small group, a safe place where you can develop relationships and build trust. And here's a side note. Don't betray trust that you have in small groups. Everyone needs someplace safe they can go. And practice accepting love. When someone compliments you, I don't know who else does this, they say, oh, I love your scarf, and you go, oh, this old thing, oh, yeah, that's wrong color for me. Practice accepting love. When someone compliments you, say thank you. I was in a retreat one day, walking down a sidewalk, and someone walked by me and said, do you know how beautiful you are? And I went, oh, you know, that thing. And she looked me right in my eyes and said, I didn't think so. Be vulnerable. Be vulnerable. Open yourself up to let people love you. I had a heart situation a couple weeks ago, and my boss got really on me because I didn't tell anybody I was going in for a cath. I didn't share with anyone how worried I was about it. I was actually kind of scared to death. Thought I was going to die any minute. Let myself get all crazy about it. My boss got on me because I didn't share it with you. And I told him, I'm not going to share it with them. Because I don't need 35 stinking United Methodists coming up to pray over me when I come and get my cath. And I was kind of joking, but I think you guys probably would. But more of it is because we get so afraid to let other people love us. So let other people love you. Accept the unconditional love of others. And that will teach you how to love unconditionally. And get to know God. God is not a force. He is a person who tells you what he is like through his word, by his spirit in you, and through his people. Become determined to know him deeply. Stop being content with $3 worth of God. You can't have a significant love relationship with someone you barely know. Read the Psalms and other scriptures and ask God to show you what he's like. You'll have to commit some time to the relationship. Do it and choose to obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments, so you can grow in experiencing God's love by growing in obedience. And as God shows you specifics in his word, ask him to put you on the path of obedience. And lastly, practice loving until loving unconditionally becomes second nature to you. I've told you before, one of the things Sarah and I do is when we put money in a pop machine, if change comes out, we leave the change in the pop machine and we pray for whoever's going to find it. And for a long time, it's something we had to remember, like we'd get 5 feet away from the pop machine and go, oh, wait, and we'd put the money back. Now it's second nature to us. I don't think Sarah or I have stuck our fingers in a coin return in years, because we practiced that little act of unconditional love. We were driving down Bristol Street one day, and we looked over, and somebody had taken out a big trash bin and strewn this person's trash all over the street, all over the side of the yard. I called the city. They said, we don't do that. And so Sarah and I turned around, and we went, and we started picking up this other people's trash. Let me tell you, it was disgusting. We had no gloves. But we noticed the reason why we turned around, there was an elderly woman picking up the trash, and we wanted to help her. So we got all the trash in the bin and shut the lid the best we could and said something to her that led her to believe, that's okay, we helped you, when she let us know it wasn't her trash either. She didn't know whose trash it was. And I said to her, this being Christian thing is kind of hard sometimes, isn't it? And she chuckled and said, yes. Practice until loving unconditionally becomes second nature to you. There was a man who went to his lawyer for a divorce. And the lawyer said, why are you divorcing your wife? And he said, well, I don't love her anymore. And the lawyer said, okay, I'll do the paperwork, but you need to give me a month. I want you to go home and love her. And he said, the man said, you're not listening to me. I don't love her anymore. And the lawyer said, no, love the verb. And so the man went home and he started loving his wife. He started caring for her. He started doing things for her. He started paying attention to her, started talking to her. And about 2 months later, the lawyer ran into the man and said, hey, you haven't called to make your appointment. What's going on? Call my secretary and let me know. And the man said to the lawyer, no, there will be no divorce. I love my wife. God so loved the world, not because we loved him first, not because we're so stinking lovable. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. He gave. He sacrificed. That whoever believes in him will give him something back. No. God gave, God sacrificed, not because he wanted something back from us, not that whoever believes in him will give him something, but God gave his only begotten son. He gave so that he could give more. God loves us so much that he gave so that he could give more. Everlasting life. Agape love, forgiving, sacrificial, an action, the kind of love God gives us, and the kind of love we're called to show to others. There's your New Year's resolution for 2016, y'all. Amen.